Ms. Haney. I was born Rasha Yelwedi. I was born 1898.
And when did you come?
March. I came 1908.
You were born in Rasha Yelwedi?
Sure, I was born Rasha.
I thought you were born here in Fort Wayne.
No, I was born Rasha Yelwedi. I was born Rasha Yelwedi.
Well,
1898.
Okay, now let me go back for a minute. Bayi came to, let's start with Bayi first. Bayi came to this country when?
When he was single, he was 19.
He was 19, what year did he come?
Well, that
I know his citizenship is 1901.
Oh, well, he came before that, long before that. He was in Fort Wayne. He got his citizenship long after I was born.
Well, what did he do in the old country before he came here?
He was working for his sister's husband, Bijabal Hauran, you know, in the mountain.
What did he do?
He was, they were blacksmiths. He was a blacksmith, and they made farm implements, you know.
Plow.
Yeah, they made plows.
Okay.
They made plows.
And that was Mabayi's trade all the time?
Yeah, that was his trade at that time. No, before that he was a weaver.
مش نعاف اسمها؟ مش كلمة النعاف شو معناها؟
Oh, كلمة النعاف, that came from his uncle. His uncle was نعاف. He used to, people work their cotton, you know, and their wool. They take it out of their mattresses and everything once a year, and they بنعفوها. You know, they have an implement like a bow and arrow, like.
Yeah.
And they fluff the stuff and they put it back. Mm-hmm. And he used to do it so fast. That was his uncle. He used to do it so fast. You know, he in afun, he made it so fast.
But
he was 5 years old. But my father had a loom, because even after I was born, I saw the loom. And my father had
He weaved materials, wool materials.
No, cotton.
Cotton.
He weaved lots of cotton materials, you know, and wool too, but mostly cotton.
He didn't have any brothers?
No brothers, just two sisters.
Two sisters. Mm. When did they come to this country?
Oh, my aunts came...
Before him or after?
No, long after him.
Oh, I thought...
My father came when he was single first. He was 19 years old when he came to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, what made him come? Why did he come?
Well, he came because he was working at the time for his brother-in-law, and they used to give these plows on credit to these farmers, and they were supposed to pay them after after the harvest, mm-hmm. You know. So this one fella, Durzi, you know, he was a sheik too. My father went to collect from him. He told me the story so many times, and my aunt mm-hmm. told it to us. And this fella says, go on, I'm not going to pay. The plow wasn't any good. And the plow was good. He used it all summer. What was wrong with it? But he just didn't want to pay. So my father went and took him by the chin, by the beard, and he says, you're going to pay from this beard. You're going to pay. Mm-hmm. Get away from here. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can't say that. Then... He went and he took some of the grain, you know.
What is the importance of this lehi to the Druze?
Oh, that's very sacred. When a man's got a beard, he's a sheik. Yeah, they swear by it. I swear once he swears by his beard, that's all. That's
an oath.
كرامة اللحي وبحلف بها اللحي وإيفرين. خذون من لحيتي. بيقول خذون من اللحي. Take it from my... If he's borrowing something, he'll say خذ من اللحي. So anyway, my father comes back with the bag, you know, he had an empty bag. He went and he took the grain. He filled up the bag and he took the grain and he rode on his horse and went back to his brother-in-law and he told him, he says, I got from that lehi, I got it. He says, and he wouldn't pay me and I made him, he says, what'd you do that for? You can't do that. This is a Druze country, they'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you can't stay in this country no more. You gotta get going. You can't even go out of Shaya, they'll send somebody there to kill you. So my father came to Damascus and then to Beirut, and his brother-in-law gave him the money, you know, for his passage, and he came.
Did he specifically pick America, or was he just escaping anywhere?
No, he specifically picked United States because everybody was coming to.
Was that for their city?
No, she didn't say anything.
That meant city Oniki, city
and her two daughters, they stayed in the old country. They were both married, the daughters, by this time. They got married very young. Auntie Bedawi got married when she was 13, Auntie Tekle when she was 15. They got married very young.
Is he trying to clip and met?
He had his father's sisters, two of them, his two aunts.
No. I'm talking about his uncles. Didn't he have three uncles that he was very proud of?
My father had uncles. They all died. That's why my brothers are all named after them. My brother George is named after Ami Jurios. My brother Tommy's name after Ami Tuma. That's my father's uncles. His father's brothers named these. And none of them had any sons. They all died without sons.
Is that why Bayu Nayan?
My father was.
Took the names from them?
Yeah. So George and my brother Tommy.
And that was the three sons?
That was the three sons, sure.
And so Bayu.
Those were the three brothers.
So it's
my grandfather's name is Nick. The two other uncles are Tommy and George.
And it's traditional, almost necessary for the son to take the father.
Oh, it's absolutely traditional for the son. That's why I was insisting on my brother Nick naming his son Ferris. That's what it is, the oldest son.
Yeah, the oldest son.
Always the oldest son. He names his children, his first son after his father. Like my son Louis is named after my husband's father, who's the eighth.
Is the mother's father that important?
No, the father's father.
Only the father's father.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, when came the with Bayi, he had left because of the Druze.
Yeah.
His mother didn't see him.
No, he came to Fort Wayne.
He escaped.
Yeah, he came to Fort Wayne.
Who did he know in Fort Wayne? Why did he pick Fort Wayne?
Well, they were coming to Fort Wayne because there was a man there by the name of Selma Pshara. Selma Pshara's grandfather.
Every place I've heard, everybody mentioned Salem of Shah.
Yeah. Well, they came because over there he had a store. And he
How did Bayi know about Salem of Shah?
Because he had somebody in New York, this Mr. Bishara, this Mr. Abili used to be in the...
Interpreter.
He was an interpreter and he was in the immigration office.
Yeah.
And he asked the people, you like to go to Texas or you like to go to Fort Wayne, Selma Pshara, and most of them because Fort Wayne was closer, you know.
Who is Selma Pshara from Rashaya?
No, he's from Dar al-Ahmar.
Dar al-Ahmar.
That's about a couple of miles on Rashaya. Had Sajarat Msharatayt. Yeah.
Well, that's what I didn't know. Yani, did he come with anybody?
Well, most likely they used to come, they used to send them these Samasra, the commissioners, you know, in Beirut. They'd sell them the tickets and take commission on it, you know, and put them on the ship too. Mm-hmm. That's how when I came, that's the way it was. Came by commissioners.
So anyway, He didn't speak any English evident.
Not a word.
He didn't.
No, they don't do that in the old country. Nobody does that.
Is I'm in Fort Wayne, I'll train in New York, I'll Fort Wayne.
I'll Fort Wayne. Then Abbaulo Jizdin Baha.
Rahlan Sayyid Mubshara.
Rahlan Sayyid Mubshara. Abbaulo Jizdin Baha.
Do you know Sayyid Mubshara?
Yeah, I knew him.
Was he still alive?
When we first came to this country, he was still alive in 1908.
And he stayed there, Baya.
Sorry, it's not Baya. The jizdain, they hamlaw b'ktayfun with straps. They strap that to their back. And the kishi, she had jewelry, you know, like shoelaces, and notions of all kinds. They hamlaw b'idun. And they used to walk from town to town. If the towns weren't too far apart, they walked it.
Did you actually end on?
They walked it, they'd open the merchandise. They had taught them a couple of words. Lady, you buy something? That's the whole story. They'd open the merchandise. How much? Marat Kullon. And if you are for 10, 15, 25, 50. That's all. That's all. They just taught them the prices. So this one day he was walking from one town to the other, and he took the railroad track because it was shorter than the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking a railroad track, and he came to the bridge. What is it called? A trestle?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, without any sides to it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he heard the train coming. He was in the middle of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the train coming. He couldn't go back because there was no place to go back. And forward, that's all he could go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So he started to run with this big case in his back and the one in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened to my father for sure. He started to run. He got to the, this was over a river. This
mm-hmm.
trestle was over a river. And just as the train was ready to hit him, he jumped. Everything, on his back and his hands.
The water didn't sink him.
He didn't get in the river. He happened to jump on the edge of the water. So he lost conscience entirely. He lost conscience entirely because of the weight, you know, and the height. And he had a dream that his mother was saying to him, Ferris, you're going to be okay. Wake up, son. Allah najjik bi hasanat al-kleb li kunt tut'amhun. When he was a child in the old country, he used to love dogs. And because his mother used to bake for these rich people, he used to save all the pieces of bread, you know, because they don't even take dogs in the houses over there. They just sleep any place. Yeah. And he used to go and feed the dogs when he was a child. And she said to him, هذه بحسنة الكليب اللي كنت تطعمهن يا ابني. الله نجيك. He woke up. He thought...
He was unconscious very long.
He doesn't know how long he was unconscious. But when he woke up, he felt his feet wet. He thought it was water from the river. Yet he was a little ways from the water. He couldn't understand how the water got to his feet. So he took his shoes off, and it wasn't water, it was blood. His feet had cracked from the weight, the bottoms of his feet. That's, my father told us that so many times.
How did he walk?
So he took his shoes off, and his stockings were all full of blood. He went to the river and he washed his shoes and his stockings, and he washed his feet in the water of the river. And he had towels in his case that he sold, and socks, men's socks. He dried his feet real good, and he put on their socks and put on his shoes again and walked again.
I've never heard him tell us.
So he wrote to my grandmother in the old country what happened to him and how he dreamt that she was telling him. So she went and got two big bags of flour, not bags, you know, they get it in measure.
Yeah.
Mud. Khabazat middan qamah. And she baked the bread, and she didn't give a soul one bite of it, but she took it all over the town to the dogs. She fed all the dogs because God saved him from that. Now that happened to my father.
Bayi, I know it came Yim Shiyama, but he used to tell all sorts of wonderful stories about his experience.
Yeah. You know one experience he had in Texas?
Texas? She was not Texas.
Oh, my father walked to Texas. What do you mean?
I thought wasn't at Denver.
Oh, wasn't at Texas, at El Paso. And El Paso then, this was long, long time ago.
I didn't know he went to El Paso.
Yeah. You know, we could have been millionaires now if Pa had any, but he had the old country on his mind all the time, and his mother, he wanted to go back. My uncle, my mother's brother, was there, and they went to Texas. You see,
mm-hmm.
first they were in Canada, and they said, no, we'll go to Texas and work. It's warm climate over there. And
shut up, won't be Texas.
Oh,
bien.
So they were intelligent people. They were extremely intelligent people, don't they? Come into a very strange country, they didn't even know the language, they didn't even know anything, and look how good they made. So anyway, they had the initiative, and they had the talent, and they had the will to do. They're not soft like us. They were offered after they were in Texas a while selling, you know, like on the, from the suitcases, they sold, and then they'd ship the merchandise by freight and by trains, whatever they could ship them to them. Anyway, my uncle had owned land in the old country, and he knew the value of land. See, my father didn't care much about land. They were selling land around there at 50 cents an acre. And they had made good money. They each one made $200, you know, during this.
How long would it take? For example, how much would they make a week, roughly?
Oh, they didn't make much, honey.
But they could save that much money out of it?
Out of $200, it took them months and months to save, honey. Maybe it took them a whole year to save.
Oh, okay.
Took them a whole year to save $200. So my uncle said, we're doing good business here. Let's stay here a while. Let's invest this money. Buy with each one, we'll invest $200. And look at how much land we'll own. 50 cents an acre. Each one would have had, I think, around 400 acres, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
400 acres, yeah. My father says, oh, no. You can invest if you want, but me, I'm going to make me 100 pounds. You know, once $500 was 100 pounds, I'm going to go back to the old country, not me. My father wouldn't buy the land. For
look
50
cents. Oil on it.
Yeah, look around El Paso.
Oh,
you know, when I went to California, when we sat on the patio, you know, on your at your house in California, my father started to say to me, you know, he says, you know, it's too bad I didn't think before. I could have owned lots of land in Texas. And he told me, he says, your uncle wanted me to invest $200 in land around El Paso. And I didn't. He says, I wish I had known about this country before, about California, too. He was crazy about California.
How he got to Denver? Kip was not Denver. Do you know that kid from Denver?
No, I don't.
Did he shoot he stopped at a farm and he shoot?
Denver,
Colorado. He stopped at a farm someplace and some man.
No, I know. He told me about El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he used to always carry the Bible with him. All the time. He never went any place without his Bible. Never.
How long did he stay in Texas?
Well, I don't know. I don't think he stayed over a year in Texas.
Stayed that long?
Oh, yeah, he stayed
there. What year was this, if you do remember, roughly?
Well, let's see, I must have been about 2 years old at the time. That would be around 1900.
Right, when was Fort Wayne? Is Fort Wayne only what? About what year, roughly?
Well, he was 19. He was 19, Alexa. And he married my mother when he was 22.
What year was he married then?
Well, you can tell by the year I was born, because I was born a year after they got married.
Right.
So that makes how many years? From 19 to 22 is what, 3?
Yeah.
And I was born 23, and then a year after that, 4. That was 5 years altogether.
5 years?
5 years, yeah. And I was born 1898. 5 years before that, how much would that make him?
1893. Well,
that's when he came.
Gene, okay. So, anyway, in the first period in Fort Wayne,
yeah, you know what he did? You know what he did when he married my mother, that father of yours? My mother was being engaged to another fella. And he, you know what he did? Oh, that dad of yours.
He's your father too.
Yeah, I mean, and Abdul Khatib la in San Manaythi upstairs. You know, they were the Ayethni, and her uncle and her brother was there. And naturally, they don't engage the fella. Doesn't engage the girl. You know, in the old days.
How do they do it?
And they ask the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, the parents, the bride and groom are not there at all.
Mm-hmm.
The man and the boy are not there at all. And they were upstairs in the upstairs room working out the details, you know, of the engagement. These people would ask, can we have your daughter for our son, so and so and so. And so my mother was downstairs with her cousin, another girl. So my father says...
Your mother was living with her mother?
No, my grandmother was in the old country. My mother
she was here alone,
with her brother.
With her brother?
Yeah.
She must have come very young, too.
Yeah, she was only 15. She had only been here a year. My mother got married when she was 16. So, your dad...
Your father believed in marrying young women.
Yeah, young, beautiful women, too.
Young, beautiful women, too.
He married three young, beautiful women, if you please.
Oh, that dapper man.
That dapper, he was so handsome. They couldn't resist him, I guess. Yeah, maybe he was so cute. And so he came and he says to her, oh, Marina, come here, I want to show you something. Je maktoub nil bled. But if Rajiki Allah, and Mama was so attached to her mother, ya haram. And then she come out the door and he says, where's the letter? He says, how now? Ta'i shufi. Ta'i l'ambat Selma Bshara b'qra liki. Selma Bshara was next door. So Selma Bshara says, Marina, you're going to be married to a stranger, not from Rashaya, from Aithi, you know, about 5 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, my brother and my uncle said it was all right. And my father said to her, what's wrong with me? I'm from Rashaya. And honest. So Selma Bshara says, ta'i l'aqillik Marina, ta'i l'anruh nuhki, nitmasha mishwaru nuhki. So they take her by the courthouse. They had already secured a license and a justice of peace. They had everything set. And my father says, you're going to marry me. Never mind that guy. And Fort Wayne in the courthouse. So they got married.
And she got married? Didn't
she got married.
It?
Huh?
Didn't she fight it? Didn't she?
She didn't fight or nothing. Selma Bshara. Apparently, she must have liked him.
Why not?
Selma Bshara قال هذا أحسن ليك وهذا من بلدك وكل شيء. So she married him. وهذوك العياثني بعدوا أنت بتجي العروس لأن بدون يحطوا الخطبة, you know, بدون they had a diamond ring and everything, you know, عربون الخطبة بدون يحطوا. There was no عروس. They went on.
Who was the second one?
The second one, Bintli Yisl-Khouri, beautiful girl.
Here in Fort Wayne, come in?
No, dear, she was in the old country after my mother died. He went to the old country.
You were, how old when your mother died?
Oh, no, I was 11 going on 12 when my mother died. Mm-hmm. See? And he went to the old country after I got married. I got married when I was 15.
In the old country?
No, in Montreal.
Well, then we're going too far ahead. Yeah. I was just curious about
then him. He went to the old country, honey.
After your mother died here. She died here in Fort Wayne.
My mother died in Spring Valley.
In Spring Valley.
Uh-huh.
Then he went to the old country. After the Kamau?
No, I wouldn't go. I got married in Montreal.
Oh, Kinti Khalani Bil Bled.
Yeah, and I came and never
went back. He married your mother, and then he took her to the old country.
Yeah, and I was.
How many years after he married? The same year he married her, he must have taken her to the old country.
The same year, yeah, because I was born in the old country.
That was his first trip back.
Yeah, that was his first
and
trip back.
And you were born.
Yeah, I was born, and he left, and he came.
And
I was a baby. I was only a year old when my father came to this country.
And your mother, when did she come back?
Then my mother, when I was year and a half old, she followed him he sent for her to Montreal.
And left you there?
No, with her. Her and I came together.
Ah.
And then my mother couldn't stand the cold. She was delicate, you know,
uh-huh.
in Montreal. So they sent her back to the old country when I was 2 years old.
Then you stayed till you were...
We stayed and we came back till I was 9 going on 10 when we came back again. My father followed us.
Yeah, then you and your mother came back.
Three of us, all of us together.
Well, then Dad went back the third time now, picked you up and came back.
No. No, you got it wrong, darling. We went to the old country. I was born.
Right, that was his first trip.
His first trip. Then he came by himself.
And
then he sent for me and my mother.
Right, and you came back.
We came to Montreal.
Right.
We stayed there till I was 2 years old. Because my mother couldn't stand the cold.
Right.
So they sent me and my mother back to the old country.
Right.
My father stayed here.
Uh-huh.
See, that's the time he went to Texas with my uncle.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed here until I was 5. He stayed 3 more years after we went, till he saved that $500. You know, he had to save $500. Mm-hmm. So he went back to the old country. Mm-hmm. And then when he went back there, he stayed another 4 years and a half in the old country. Mm-hmm. And that's the time we came together, all three of us, and I never went back.
Then you went straight to Spring Valley?
No. We came, when we landed in Rochester, Pennsylvania. And then we came to Fort Wayne. That's the time I was telling you, I picked coal on the railroad track.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, when we...
Rochester, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. We
Oh,
3 months. That's all. We stayed in Rochester. My aunt was living there, and he didn't like Rochester. So he moved back to Fort Wayne.
Why did you go picking coal?
Well, I was a little girl, and we had a house alongside the railroad track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the coal, you know, the big, you know how the trains, the Wabash, they used to have, and when the trains would pass, some of the coal would fall over,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a bucket, and my mother said, go pick us some coal. Because we were poor, we just came from the old country, we didn't have anything.
Did Bailey or your mother know anybody in Rochester? Rochester.
My aunt was in Rochester. And Muslie was in Rochester, too.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Muslie used to be in Rochester. We landed, really, in Montreal.
Did we have a fishy bay uni?
Yeah, but he didn't have good luck. He couldn't do good. So he thought he'd go back to Fort Wayne, because that's his hometown. Well, in Fort Wayne, he didn't do too good either. And we had this house alongside the train, you know. It was one room. One man had one room this side, we had the other room the other side. There was a wall in between. It was a funny shack, you know. So anyway, I used to take the bucket, and every time the trains went by, for some reason or other, the coals would fall. So we got our coal that way. And then the men in the trains, they got used to me, you know, seeing me over there. And they'd take the fellas that, you know, that were that were feeding the train coal. Hello, Dutch, and then throw coal to me. And I didn't know what the word meaning Dutch, you know. They called me Dutch. I was real fair, and my skin was mittel halait.
They probably thought you were Dutch.
Hello, Dutch. I'll never forget it. They always called me Dutch.
Did you or May or your mother, experience any discrimination at all by an American or
Yes,
market?
Yes, we did.
Well, I wonder if
well, no.
It.
They were very, very good, those fellas. They used to always throw coal to
But in any other way you said you experienced
Yeah, we used to, Saturday night, sometimes they used to have a band concert in front of the courthouse in Fort Wayne. And my mother liked to listen to that music. So we'd take a walk, my mother and I, you know, and the kids, the children. My mother was fair as a lily, and she had her hair done beautifully. I mean, just like the rest of the people, and were dressed nice. But somehow they spotted us. They'd always call us Dago. Dago, 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 Dago.
ما عرف كونش إنه أنتوا عرب دو.
شبابية, how much this country has changed since the Second World War. The First World War, honey, before the war, believe me, the American people looked down on foreigners.
Yes, I know, but they looked down on, you know, they had a name for the Italian, they had a name for the Jew, but they never had a specific name for the Syrian.
No, they never had. They called them Dago, and sometimes they called them Sheenie, and sometimes Sheenie. They called them Sheenie a lot. But you'd be surprised, in these last few years, I've been watching that, honey. Even foreign dishes now, people, doctors, professional men, and I mean men that likes good food, you'd be surprised how much they patronize the foreign restaurants.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, if the Mahasish, he never had a chance to really feel that he was discriminated against, did he?
Oh no, not as a Syrian or Lebanese, but as a foreigner.
But did this bother him, do you think? He didn't bother him at
no,
all.
No, didn't stop him from going ahead. No. As a matter of fact, I think it made him want to improve his lot, to be honest with you.
Did they used to tell stories or jokes about this, the way they would be discriminated against?
No. The only thing they were ever discriminated against was from kids being called Sheenie and stuff like that.
How about when they used to go selling?
Well, they wouldn't. You know, they never knew the difference between a Syrian and a Jew anyway. They called everybody that sold a Sheenie. It didn't make any difference whether he was Lebanese or any other kind. They called all of them Sheenies. And as a matter of fact, It was the Jews that started this back selling. It wasn't the Lebanese. It wasn't the Syrians.
Do you think that's where they got it from, copying from
Oh,
the Jews?
Definitely so. That I know to be a fact. Because my father, how do I know? I've been told it by the older generation. Mm-hmm. That it was really the Jews who started the selling from door to door. As a matter of fact, the Jews did that in Roshaya, and in the old country they raffled from town to town. We bought materials from them. My mother, we all, the ladies would always wait till Asia Bayer. Mm-hmm. Mishame, you know, they'd come out of Damascus. Damascus was the city. And they did all the villages in Lebanon and Syria. It was the Jews that started. There was never a Gentile out selling, never.
Christy, was the Shame more important than Beirut in those days?
Well, Shem was quite a big city.
I see. Bigger than Beirut.
It was bigger than Beirut. It's true, it wasn't a port. But then, Shem was the grain
center.
It was the center for all the, what you call them, the camel...
Caravans. Well, that's all I need to know about that. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
let's go back again, just back to Fort Wayne again. I'm still trying to build up out of that middle period, early period.
Yeah.
When they were in Fort Wayne, they would go out for a week or so, or 6 months, or how long, and then come back to Fort Wayne. Like Bayiba, yeah, he would go
out. Well, my father used to go sometimes for 6 months. You know what he told me once? He started out from Canada, if you please.
Montreal. Yeah.
Walking.
And?
Of course, it took him many months.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But he walked all the way from Canada to Fort Wayne, and then out west to Texas.
Not only to Texas. I know he got to Denver. He used to tell me the story about Denver.
Yeah, he got out there. They walked. But later...
Where did they sleep?
Oh, they slept. I'll tell you how they slept. They asked people, lady, sleep, and then they'd show her the merchandise, you know, give her merchandise. And a lot of times they slept in hay lofts, in barns. That was the main thing.
You have to say he slept in an outdoor toilet.
Oh, many times they slept. No, my father said they used to sleep in barns a lot.
In schoolhouses.
And schoolhouses. Schoolhouses, that was their...
favorite place.
That was their favorite place.
Do you know the story, Ifti, when he slept in that Matahma Bi'ubro, Ken Majimeen, Mahao, and Shisakhana?
Oh.
I'm a Fi'at Abukr al-Abharabi. We met the Hamayah Hatin at Tabut, or the Shishi got high. Do you know that story?
No, I don't. The story I know about was when he took my Aunt Salimi out selling, and that was out of Fort Wayne. They put up a suitcase for her, you know, to sell. She was his first cousin, see, and he was responsible for her, Ibn Amma, you know. And Ibn al-Am, first cousin, was just the same as a brother.
Yeah.
I mean, no different with them people. So they set out, they took a train. They'd make a route for themselves, you know, so many towns that they were going to hit, you know, that they were going to go to sell. So they went out and then they walk back to Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the last town and they walk back to Fort Wayne. Like each town they'd do one day, you know, and the next day they'd go to the next one, and at the end of the week they'd be in Fort Wayne. So poor Auntie, you remember how her feet used to blister?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, her feet started to blister like mad. He didn't know that she blistered.
Mm-hmm.
So what could he do? He wanted to send her back to Fort Wayne, you know. So he goes to the town, he asks if there's a train. They said the train doesn't stop in this. No train here. Stop. So what he do? He leaves the suitcases in the station with the station master, and he carried her on his back That's the God's truth. He carried her on his back to another five, he carried her 5 miles to the next station where the train stops. It was a bigger town, I guess. He put her there in the station. He had lots of time, you know. He went back, carried all the suitcases, 2 in his hands and the rest he strapped on his back, and came and waited for the train till the train got to, you know. He put her on the train and sent her back to Fort Wayne. He told me that. He says,
where did they eat on these on the road? Did they carry their meals?
Yeah, they bought food from the grocery stores. They bought bread and bologna and cheese and stuff like that. They bought that. They bought. But for their meals, for their supper, if they ever got a house to let them in to sleep, you know, they gave them the meal too. Mm. They ate with them.
Did they ever double up, or did they get together with other peddlers and say, "Now I'm going to take this, and don't you go take that one"? Or did they take it whether they knew somebody else was going to be there or not?
Well, they knew where each one, you see, صاحب السطار يختي يكتب لهم الطرقة, like Mr. Bishara would give them the route where they were going, you know.
He'd know which direction.
He'd know, yeah, and he sends different ones, different directions. Supposing he send these fellas this direction, next week he sends another bunch that direction, not, you know, different people. That's why they had to travel far away. They had it hard. They had it plenty hard.
But they were happy, don't you think?
Well, at the end of the week, they came back to Fort Wayne and have just like a wedding.
What would they do?
Music, dancing, depke.
They used to wait for the weekend till they all got back.
Till they all got back. They all came back.
Where would they go? At Bishara's house in Fort Wayne?
Well, yeah, they each had a room. No, they rented their room.
But is it true they would find a house maybe in a place like Spring Valley and sleep 20, 30 of them?
No, not in Spring Valley. They didn't do that.
Seemed to me that I saw the house. I know where the house is.
No, not in Spring Valley.
You know where the old saloon was? Right behind the old saloon near the junkyard.
Say, that's... No, honey. That used to be Empire's house. What's the matter with you? By the old saloon.
Not behind the old saloon, not the old saloon.
What behind? What old saloon?
Someplace, I can remember it was a junkyard someplace in back there somewhere.
You mean Buckman's? Buckman's Junkyard.
Yeah, behind it with the shoes.
Yeah, no, you mean on next street up. Buckman's, you mean? No, they never did that, honey. In Spring Valley, everybody had a little house. You know, Spring Valley's a mining town. And there were a lot of these company houses that the company built for the miners that were small, 3 rooms, 4 rooms at the most, you know.
I don't know where I got that notion, but didn't they do it in Fort Wayne?
Well, in Fort Wayne, they each rented a room, big
from
house, and each one would rent a room, and the one big kitchen.
Well, didn't they call the place Port Arthur, maybe?
Well, I don't know about that. I never heard about it. But I know that after my mother died, even, and I went to Rochester, my aunt took me to Rochester, Pennsylvania, that's how they were living, each one in a room, but the kitchen was everybody's.
But did single men ever give the community any trouble, you know?
No, they were very peaceful people. They never did. That's one thing. Well, no, they didn't at first. Later on, they started to go out with.
Would they stay, you know, wait for Syrian girls to marry them, or what?
Well, most of them, yeah. Most of them, they waited for Syrian girls. Very seldom did a Syrian fella marry an American girl. Very seldom.
What happened to them when they did? If they did?
Nothing. Everybody took it in their stride.
They accepted the girl?
They most certainly did. And they were mighty nice to her. They treated the American girl better than they treated the Syrian girl. Even till today, they say the same thing. Get a Syrian boy to marry an American girl, he treats her like a queen.
No, no, not the men, but the community.
The community, it was something new and novel, you know. But they never...
Do you know of anybody that Joe was a Makini?
Yes, I do.
In those
early days, yeah. This man in Fort Wayne, they still live... of course, his first wife died. اسمه مستر معلولي. خيول اسم المعلولي. اسبر اسبر المعلولي. He married a woman, her name was Esther, and the Syrian community in Fort Wayne took to her right away.
Did she learn the Arabic ways?
She learned everything.
Well, that's probably why.
It was amazing the way that woman could speak Arabic. It was amazing. She spoke slow Urushayni on top of that. Honestly. Everybody was crazy about her.
But did it take a while before they got to be crazy about her?
No, they got to like her right away. They took to Isper's wife right away. She was a friendly. They were glad, Yachty, to make friends with the Americans. They were tickled to death to make friends with the Americans, believe me. They were tickled to death to make friends with the American people. They sort of felt... Well, no, they stuck together pretty much together. Well, I'll tell you, because they felt that the American people didn't want them.
They really did.
They really did. Well, to be honest with you, like I told you, Alexa, the foreigner was looked on as if he was a plague or something. The American looked at the foreigner as if he was inferior. Up until just few years back.
Did it ever happen to you personally, say in school or something like that?
Well, no, because the school I went to, like in Spring Valley, they were mostly all Italian kids.
Didn't you go to school in Fort Wayne?
I did. I went to school in Fort Wayne. But I didn't understand English to know whether they looked down on me or not. I didn't understand a word of English. As a matter of fact, I went to Clay School. I went to Clay School.
That's the time you went with George Maloli?
George Maloli, we both came from the old country together, you know. George Maloli's older than I.
Oh, that's the story by Baye Kenny Ulan, George Maloli, and Jebo Mao.
Yeah, sure. We picked him up in Alexandria, Egypt. His aunt brought him to the ship. She had corresponded with my father, and my father told her what ship we were coming on, you know. And she brought him. Allah irham, I remember her real well, Malaki. She was a big woman she was a merchant in horses. She was a horse merchant. You know, she used to sell mules and horses. She didn't have a husband.
Somebody, her father became somebody.
No, Malaki was, she used to ship animals. She was a big merchant.
Well, let's talk about some of the other people in Fort Wayne while I think about it. You were talking about your experiences in school. Excuse me, go ahead. Tell me about your experiences
in
school.
Well, in school, I went to school and, the kids didn't try to play with me too much, probably because I didn't try to play with them.
Were you older than the rest of the children
in
that class?
Yes, now, I'll tell you. The schools have made a great improvement now, my dear. Now here in Highland Park, like the older children that come from the old country, they have a special class for them. Well, in the time I went to school, they put me in with the kindergarten kids, the first graders. I was 10 years old and I had to go in with these kids. And even I couldn't fit in the desk. And George, they had the girls on one side of the room for some reason or other, and the boys on the other side. And every time I got stuck, we'd holler to each other.
Davida told me you used to scream out in class to one another while you...
Sure, in class. What did we know the difference? Class or no class? We didn't know the difference. And when Santa...
That absurd issue.
And when Santa Claus came in that room...
Oh, yes.
Boy, did I scream my head. I got scared of him. I've never seen a Santa Claus. I thought it was strange, you know. And George says to me, Le t'chafaysh, Ule. Le t'chafaysh. Je like it. Ana biqtluk. Alhu biqtluk.
Poor George. And Ferris didn't go to school with you then?
No, Ferris was older than both of us.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. same age as George. I think Ferris was about the same age as George. But I was younger than the two of them. I think George was...
Well, that's right. They were 14, 15, 17, something like that. Only 10.
George was a big, tall boy. George must have been, I think George was about 15. That's all. Couldn't have been 17. I don't think he was 17.
Maybe then it was Ferris that was 17.
Yeah, Ferris is a couple of years older.
Well, did the girls and were the girls and the boys always allowed to play with each other, or did they separate?
No, they played. In the recess outside, they played.
How about in the community, in the neighborhood, Matahiru, Benet Sabini, Badil Abumabad and Balloon?
Well, I didn't.
Hello, Benet Yamai.
I'll tell you the truth, I didn't get much chance to play myself, so I don't know much about it.
What were you doing when you weren't going to school?
Oh, I was staying home. You know, you talk, you think your brothers, it doesn't come to them naturally. And you, it comes naturally. Believe it or not, we rented after we got through with the shack, we had another house, we rented that.
Now, where's this, Fort Wayne or Rochester?
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne.
I found a hymn book in that house. Now, this might sound funny to you, but that's the honest truth.
Okay, I want to know.
I'm telling you, you think we're not intelligent family, eh? Well, let somebody, even if I didn't go to school very much, I wished I had. I take that hymn book, Alexa, and do you know that from the do, re, mi, I'd practice it by myself. Like this. And then the words, I'd put the letters together.
I'm talking about do, re, mi.
Oh, well, I had learned it in school in the old country.
Oh, I see.
See, I had learned it.
How much schooling did you go there?
Oh, I went to, fourth grade in the old country is just like eighth grade here. I went eighth grade.
Wait, did you go to that Russian school?
Yes, ma'am.
My mother went there?
Yeah. No, your mother went to the Presbyterian school.
No, she went to a Russian school.
No, ma'am. I was with her in class. And my last class was with her. In the Malmi Regina, honey, in Mikat Allah. Sure. No, your mother didn't go to Russian school. Emmi kena tuh la andi malmi Regina. And that was my last class. Latifi and I, we quit the Russian school and we went to that school.
Maybe she was telling me about you.
Yeah, I went to the Russian school. So I abide with me. I picked up that hymn and I picked up the music to it and I learned to read it by myself.
How did you understand it?
I didn't understand it. I just read it without understanding it. I didn't understand a word. Honest.
I believe you.
I didn't understand it. But you see, my mother would be out selling. My father was out. I was home
alone.
Did
your mother sell too?
Oh, yes, every day. And I'd sit with that book. I was so fascinated with it. And I'll never forget, that was the first hymn I learned. Abide with me. You see, abide is such a word that's put together easy. With,
yeah,
is also, I knew the TH was, mm-hmm. I knew that. Me, M-E, that was, you see, I remember. I learned to read by myself.
And you didn't get anything out of the school of Canada that you had here.
So, after we moved from Fort Wayne, I went to Clay School in Spring Valley.
Lincoln.
Yeah. Clay was in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
I went to Lincoln School in Spring Valley. Again, they put me with the small kids. Already I was this tall. I was grown up.
How many years after Fort Wayne was this?
Well, we only stayed 8 months in Fort Wayne. We went to Spring Valley.
Sure, I thought they were not Spring Valley.
Because my aunt, Aunt Salimi was there. And my father went to visit her.
Mm-hmm.
He had to see his cousin, you know.
Yeah.
So he came back and says, we go to Spring Valley. We moved to Spring Valley, so we moved to Spring Valley. And then again in Lincoln School, they put me in with the small kids. Edie and Edna, they started to call me, نزها بزها لتل بيبي.
إيدين
أدنى نصا نصور. You know them.
Yeah.
Edna, the little, no,
yes.
Edie, the, Edna, the little Dickens, the tomboy, you know, the twins. And I got mad, so I quit. I wouldn't go to school. By that time, I was, I think, about 11 and a half. I was over 11. So this Mr. Fawaz, Fadul Fawaz, he says to me one day, he says, I know, Nazha, you're anxious to learn English. I know you are. He says, you know how I learned to read English? I said, how? He says, you know the ABCs, don't you? I says, yes, but they're written and different and they sound different when you read
it. ABC
No, تعلمتها بهالبلاد. So he says to me, look, you pick up a newspaper and you know maybe one or two words out of the whole sentence. He says, those two words will give you the key to open the whole sentence. If you can understand two or three words out of the whole sentence, then you can put it together, he said. Then you'll learn how to read the rest of it. And do you know, I used to take a newspaper and I'd sit for hours. I used to sit for hours. Maybe I'd read a line and I'd sit and think. And by golly, I learned.
I know, you read and write very well now.
Oh, I don't write it very well.
Yeah, but there's nothing.
Because my hands are bad.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about your knowledge of it.
And
when did they send you to school?
When I was 4 years old.
That's 11.
Yeah, just like I sent you when you were 5 years old. Yeah, they sent me to school when I was 4 years old.
And how did you learn to read and write Arabic? From the school and where else?
From the school, and then my father, every single night before we went to sleep.
In what book?
In the Bible. We started from the beginning, the Old Testament. And I would read one line, then he would read a line. And we read Rasul Ishah bil Inglisi. Chapter.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Every night we read a chapter until I learned to read good. That helped my reading.
Mm-hmm.
It helped my reading a great deal. Because you know, Al-Arabi, Akhti, it's not hard to read.
Yes, it is. Akhti.
For you it is, but it isn't for a person that hears it all the time. You know? And
this was Nahawi though, you were learning, wasn't
it? I wasn't learning Nahawi. I was learning from my father. Plain, simple reading.
I see.
Just putting words together. You know what I mean? Putting letters together and making a word out of it. You know? مثل مثلا بدك تقولي الله ألف لام لام. Hey, Allah. All you do is pronounce the letters that are written in front of you.
Uh-huh.
See, that's how your mother tried to teach your dad, too.
Me, too. But I wouldn't learn it.
Did she try to teach you?
I remember the Aleph Bet.
Yeah, and the way they taught it to us in the Russian schools wasn't like Aleph Bet. It was A, B, T, T.
Mm.
See? They taught us the pronunciation of each letter. They didn't teach us Aleph, Bet, Te, Fe. No, they didn't. They just taught us the sounds of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't hard to put them together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to.